This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
215-592-9494. All right, let's talk to Ross Tucker, huge part of our program, of course, during the football season and also when it's not football season as far as active games goes on. But free agency is next week, and there's an awful lot to talk to Ross about. You can follow him with the Ross Report, of course, online and at Ross Tucker NFL on Twitter. And he joins us right now. Good morning, Ross.
Morning, guys. How are you?
I'm more fired up than that last caller, man. Holy mackerel.
You know what, though? He had some pretty strong opinions. He made a good point. I'll say this. The Paul George and Embiid, that's why the NFL is just one reason why the NFL is just so much better.
It is.
Than these other sports. I mean, good for Embiid and Paul George, you know, from a player's perspective, that they got that money. But when you have those contracts, it's like an albatross hanging around. The NFL, they just cut you.
Well,
they just move on.
I agree. And Ross, I'll tell you this. I thought LeBron was really foolish with his presentation over the last few days, basically whining and complaining about why do people, you know, dog the NBA as much as they do. And it's like, dude, it's because so many of the players just choose not to play. The style of basketball stinks. Like, I don't know what's so complicated about this. I mean,
listen, the hockey guys, okay, they play 82 games. And they're flying around, killing each other, playing with injuries. The NBA guys play like 50, 60 games. The hockey guys during the All-Star game get in fights with each other. NBA guys, you can't even get the NBA guys to play a speck of defense in the All-Star game.
I'm with you. All right, Ross, let's get to the Eagles. So free agency is next week. Let me ask you this question. Which sets things in motion first? The Eagles' attempt to get Myles Garrett or the Eagles' attempt to re-sign Zach Bond? Meaning they'd like to do both, and they'll probably try to do both, but do they just sign Bond and then say, okay, we're going to try to get Myles Garrett, or does signing Zach Bond wait until they see whether they get Myles Garrett and how much money they have left?
I think it's Bond, and I think it's Bond because that's a controllable for them. I mean, they could sign Zach Bond in 20 minutes. You know, like they could sign him today if they wanted to, because yes, he's going to be a free agent, but he was under contract with them this past year. So you can always re-sign a guy. So we could get the news Wednesday, Friday. You know, I think the longer it goes with Bond.
Yeah.
So remember, the negotiating period starts a week from the day. And so we, you know, the rumors start to come out. These guys start to agree to deals a week from the day. If it's Tuesday or Wednesday next week and they haven't re-signed Bond, then you get a little bit nervous. The Garrett thing is super complicated because, first of all, the Browns keep saying they don't want to trade him. And I don't blame them because their GM and their head coach need to win this year. So why are you going to trade arguably the best defensive player in the NFL if you have to win this year, you're getting fired? And because of lots of other teams involved and the trade compensation, and then I don't see the Eagles doing it without wanting to get him a new contract. I just think the Garrett thing is complicated. And so I would think that they would try to control what they can control, which is Bond first. Bond and his agent should have a pretty good idea now of what the market will be after the combine. They all talk at the combine. I don't care what they say. I know the negotiating period starts Monday, but if you guys remember last year, by like the end of this week, certainly Saturday, Sunday, there was a lot of buzz about the Eagles and Saquon. You remember us talking? We were like, we weren't sure if we actually believed it or not.
Yep,
you know what I mean?
And then it
happened. So I think by the end of this week, the Eagles will have a pretty good idea of whether or not they're going to bring Bond back or not. The Garrett thing is very complicated.
Ross, how much does Washington bringing Deebo Samuel into the fold, how much does that increase the likelihood that Howie is extra aggressive now?
Well, there's no question that the Commanders recognize what they have, which is by far the most valuable asset you can have in the NFL. They have a star quarterback on a rookie contract. He is making peanuts compared to what he should. There's like nine guys making over $50 million a year. Daniels is less than $10 million a year on that rookie contract, right? So this is like, you talk about any type of business. The Commanders, remember, they got Josh Harris, right? Hedge fund guy or whatever. They know that they have an unprecedented opportunity at least the next 2 years, probably the next three, to have this incredibly undervalued asset in Daniels, which is why I thought it was a great move for them. And here's why. It's not a good wide receiver free agent market. People think that the Bengals are going to tag T. Higgins. The other guys, it's like Godwin coming off an injury, Stephon Diggs coming off an injury. And for the first time, guys, in a while, it's not a good draft for receivers. So the Commanders looked at it and they were like, okay, a lot of teams need receivers, but there's not a great free agent class, not a great draft. What does that mean? Supply down, demand is still high, the prices are going to be through the roof. So I think they looked at it like, if we can lock in Debo for $17.5 million, he's only 29 years old, a fifth-round pick is nothing. He brings an edge, he brings a toughness. He obviously brings the playoff pedigree. He was not great last year, but basically the Commanders are betting that it was a down year and that he's going to bounce back, whereas the Niners are betting that he's just washed and he's 29 and he's taken too many hits.
Ross Tucker with us here. Ross, let's get to the big four with the Eagles. This may be our last time talking to you prior to free agency, you know, cranking up early next week. The Eagles' big four free agents, Becton, Bond, Williams, and Sweat. Your prediction, how many do they keep?
I want to say 1.5, which is a tough way to go about it. I do think they'll bring back Bond because I think Fangio will push hard for it. And I think they will recognize, number one, the value he provides, which I think, by the way, is more value to the Eagles than he would be elsewhere. He's 28, right? So he's not like a 25-year-old guy. He's 28. And I think they also look back on a couple years ago with Kaiser White and TJ Edwards and think, you know what? Even if we just had one of those guys in 2023, we would have been much better off. So I think they're going to get Bond back. I don't know that. I'd be disappointed if they don't. But I think that's the guy. I don't know about the other guys. I mean, I'm looking at one free agent ranking, right? They have Milton Williams as the number one D tackle. They have Josh Sweat as the number one edge guy.
And what does that earn them in your mind? Like a three technique, free agency, how much is that worth a year?
A lot. So Milton Williams will be probably between 20 to 25 million a year. They're saying that Odighizuwa, the Cowboys are going to franchise tag him. I don't think he's as good as Milton Williams, and the franchise tag's number $24 million for the Cowboys, which, by the way, anytime, if you want to know how to not handle a contract situation, just watch the Cowboys.
Dallas does.
Yeah. I mean, they're paying Dak Prescott 10% more than any other quarterback in the NFL, and yet his cap number is over $90 million, and they have nobody to blame but themselves. The Cowboys, thankfully for us, the Cowboys are an embarrassment from a contract standpoint. But so Milton Williams is going to get $20-25 million. Sweat will probably be about in the same range. I mean, Milton's 26. Josh is 28. The thing that's interesting about it, remember everything I just said about supply and demand and whatever at receiver. The D-tackle class and the D-end class in the draft are loaded, like loaded. So I wonder if that pushes down the prices for these guys a little bit. I still think, like, I'll make a prediction right now, okay? Out of those two guys and Hassan Reddick, I wouldn't be surprised if Jonathan Gannon, Rhea's buddy, and the Arizona Cardinals, I wouldn't be surprised if they signed two of those three.
Hmm.
Now, maybe it's Reddick and Milton, or maybe it's Sweat and whatever, but I think they're going to be aggressive. This is where the Eagles, you know, they'll be in the mix, but I think this is where Howie's got to say, you know what, we'll take one of each maybe in the draft as opposed to trying to pay these guys that much money.
Russ, what about Gainwell? He was kind of dogged around here for a couple years, and then he really had a very nice 2024 season. He's not going to cost too much money, but it'll be more than a veteran minimum. Is he back or not?
I'm going to say no.
They do like him, man. Sirianni leans on him.
Yeah, they trust him.
They do.
They trust him. Look, they use him a lot in short yardage, and they use him a lot in 2 minute and third down. Those are, like John could tell you, that's when you have to put a running back in there that you really, really trust. I think he's probably gone. This is another one where I think they kind of like Shipley. I kind of like Shipley. And I think that they realize Shipley can probably be the number two. Also, it's also a good draft for running backs. So, you know, Saquon's got two more years left on his deal. You don't know what his deal will be after all the touches he had this past year. I wouldn't be shocked if they take another mid-round running back. The one that's the most interesting to me, guys, is actually Becton. You know, yeah. Becton is listed. The Chiefs just franchise-tagged Trey Smith. By the way, almost $24 million for 1 year for a right guard. So the Eagles just signed Landon to a long-term deal that made him the highest-paid guard ever, $21 million a year. The Chiefs like Trey Smith so much, 1 year, $24 million.
Wow. Yeah.
So $3 million more. So anyway,
What can they get Becton at, potentially, for a multi-year deal? If $24 million is the going price for a guard, we can't go anywhere near that, can we?
Well, that's what's so interesting, is I don't think Becton's going to get that. Becton is fascinating. You know, I see him listed as the second best guard now that Trey Smith's off the market. I think Becton would rather be here. I also think he realizes, hey, I had a really good year. I got to try to maximize that. I just wonder, these other teams that need a guard, right? The Tennessee Titans or the Chicago Bears, do they have enough confidence in their O-line coach that they think that they can get that out of Becton? And also, there's some concern. You know, Becton's the type of guy that if you gave him huge money, life-altering financial security guaranteed money, mm-hmm. I do think that there's some concern about where he would be at from a motivational standpoint, especially, by the way, if he went to a bad team, right? Like, he being next to Lane, being on a good team, he's one of those guys that I think he needs that. I think he needs to be on a good team with people that believe in him, next to a Hall of Famer. I wouldn't be surprised if the Titans or some team give him a bunch of money and he goes there and they're disappointed because he's not what he was here.
The Titans, Bill Callahan is their offensive line coach, who is an incredibly, he's so well received and considered in NFL circles. He's one of those guys like Jeff Stoutland, who's been around and he's so well respected. He could probably get a lot out of
Mekhi. I agree. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
All right, Russ, let's do a couple quick hitters. Couple final minutes with Russ here with us. Russ, couple just league quick hitters, and let's move real fast to get a lot in quickly. The implication of Matthew Stafford staying with the Rams is what?
There's a good chance that they are the Eagles' biggest threat in the NFC. They have a very good, young, talented team. There was some thought he would leave. That never made sense. He's still a top 10 quarterback, and he played very, very well all year. He played well in the game against the Eagles in the snow.
Yeah,
I mean, was the closest the Eagles got to losing, which, by the way, is important to note because they're not afraid of the Eagles, right? Like, they think they can beat them. They think they should have won that game.
All right, San Fran, they trade Debo. Purdy's about to get paid. Has their window for a championship closed for now?
I don't think so. I think that they are going to bounce back. Too many really good players on that team. I thought that they, will be interesting to watch from an Eagles standpoint this year, I thought the extended playoff runs over and over again, I think it kind of had its toll on the Niners. They were just so banged up, both sides of the ball. I'm looking at their roster. I'd be surprised if they don't bounce back, and I think that they will be aggressive, knowing this is kind of it for Trent Williams, Kittle, McCaffrey. You mentioned the window, Joe. Yeah. This is kind of like they got a year, maybe two. I expect them to be super aggressive.
All right, is Aaron Rodgers going to be the quarterback of the New York Giants?
I think there's a very real possibility, very decent chance. So this is what we love about the Giants keeping Joe Shane and Brian Daboll from an Eagles standpoint. They never should have kept those guys, certainly not Shane, the GM. Those guys know that when the owner, okay, goes on the record as saying, I'm running out of patience, the GM knows they have to win this year, okay? And so they're going to make a lot of short-sighted moves. They're going to bring in Rodgers. Now, on the one hand, the moves they make will give them a better chance to beat the Eagles this year, potentially. But I think if you're an Eagles fan, you'd rather have them making short-sighted, short-term moves to try to be respectable this year, to try to sneak into the playoffs, as opposed to building it the right way. Which I was actually thinking about this, Joe. We haven't talked about this. I don't know if maybe you guys have.
Hmm.
Do you know this has been the best run, obviously, in Eagles franchise history? We all know that.
Yep.
If it was any other franchise, it never would have happened, and here's why. Remember when Howie lost the power struggle with Chip?
Yep.
Any other franchise, Howie's fired.
Absolutely.
Howie's gone.
Yeah.
Like Jeffrey Lurie, I never even, if you look, think back about this. I don't know if you guys were already doing middays or
never
what.
Never talked about it, that every other team would can him.
Every other team would have fired Howie Roseman. Jeffrey Lurie thought, you know what? Okay, Chip, you want to have final say? You got final say. But I'm not getting rid of Howie. Moved him to the other side of the building. Whatever the reports are. Like any other franchise, Howie Roseman would have been fired and this never would have happened. Lurie had some type of epiphany, like when John Ritchie decided to transfer from Michigan to Stanford and decided, I am going to go ahead. I'm going to hang on to Howie for this year. It's by far the most important move in Eagles franchise history is basically Jeffrey Lurie just kind of like holding Howie on the sideline, keeping him in his back pocket for a year.
Fascinating. Really is. Ross, final thing. Tush push. Does it survive?
It does. Yep. The as soon as the NFL came out and said there's zero data that anybody got injured on it, they would have such a tough time changing. And by the way, there's not a good way to change the rule, because the only way you'd have to be able to change the rule is you go back to you cannot push the runner
right. At
all,
yeah.
Which I think is hard. How much do we love when they throw the ball over the middle, let's just say to Goddard, A.J. Brown, and it's third and seven, and they're pushing, and the whole O-line comes and knocks them forward from behind? We love that. I think it's totally different than
You could say, though, not on running plays. Like, there is a clear, easy distinction there. You can say you're allowed to push on pass plays, but not run plays.
All right, it's third and two then.
And the refs could handle that.
Okay, but it's third and two then. It's too far for the tush push. We hand it to Saquon.
Mm-hmm.
He gets hit right at the after 2 yards. Here comes five other defensive guys to push him. And Mekhi Becton or Mailata and Landon Dickerson have to just stand there and be like, oh, well, yeah, we're 380 pounds, but we're not allowed to touch this guy. We're not allowed to push him forward. To me, that is the sport of football.
Okay. Ross, good work. But, hey, I would tell you happy birthday, but I know your birthday is not for 364 days. I hope you had a good birthday weekend. Thanks,
Thank
Ross.
Thank you, man. Appreciate
you guys.
Happy birthday, Ross.
All right, there he is, Ross Tucker. Good stuff there. 215-592-9494.